I just want today to bring a simple object lesson to you. You all know, I'm sure, what this is. It's a lemon, known especially for its bitterness. Now, most people enjoy fruit. You should have your five a day, of course, your fruit and your veg. Most people like apples and melons and oranges and all sorts of different fruit, but not too many people would sit and eat a lemon simply because it's so bitter. You might use a little bit of it if you're having fish and chips or you're cooking or something. You might have a little bit of lemon, and you might use a little bit of lemon juice if you're making pancakes or something like that, but not very many people that I know of anyway enjoy eating lemons, quite simply because they're so bitter. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a little verse in the Word of God. It's in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And God's servant, Philip, has been preaching in the city of Samaria with great effect. In fact, God has sent an awakening. There's been a spiritual revival in Samaria. And as Philip preaches Christ, the Spirit of God is doing wonderful things and many people are being converted. And that's what we pray for. That's what we long for in our day and generation. But you can be sure and you can be certain that whenever the Spirit of God is moving and the Word of God is going forth and there are people that are sincere, there will often be people there that the enemy plants as tares amongst the wheat. And there are others, and we just can't be sure as to where they stand spiritually. They might have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They might be like the goats among the sheep. They might be like the wheat among the tares. And there are some, and we just are not exactly sure where they stand spiritually, because they maybe make a profession of faith, and they say they know the Lord, and they say they love the Lord, but in their heart there are things that haven't been dealt with. And there are problems there that perhaps betray what they really are. Maybe not a lot of the fruit of the Spirit evident in their lives, but sadly perhaps a lot of the works of the flesh and the human nature evident in their lives. And so it was in Acts chapter 8. There was a man called Simon. He was a sorcerer. He had professed faith. And yet there were things in Simon's heart and things in Simon's life that weren't right. And Philip discerned that, and Philip challenged this man and said, "Repent of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." His heart was not right. He was proud, he was arrogant, he was covetous. And Philip went on to say in verse number 23 of Acts chapter 8, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." I perceive, he discerned in his heart, here's a man and he's in the gall of bitterness. The word gall denotes the very heart, the very kernel of bitterness. Just like the lemon. And many professing Christians that you find in church circles nowadays are just like Simon the sorcerer in this respect. They're like a lemon. They're full of bitterness. There's no real sweetness about them. They're always finding fault. They're contentious. They're self-willed. They're self-seeking. They point the finger at other Christians. They never see the good in anything. They never rejoice in the fact that the gospel is being preached. They never pray really for others. They don't show the fruit of the Spirit. There's no love. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no long-suffering. There's no meekness. There's no faith. There's no temperance. None of those things, no gentleness, but rather the gall of bitterness, finding fault, pointing the finger at others, easily offended, easily hurt, unforgiving spirit. They harbor that bitterness, they let it fester. Maybe something happens in the church that they don't like or don't agree with, they get bitter about it. Maybe something happens in the political world that they don't like and they get bitter about it. They get bitter about other denominations. They get bitter at other Christians. They harbor resentment. They're paranoid. And it's just this old age problem, age-old problem of bitterness. The Bible says, "Only by pride cometh contention." And maybe I speak to somebody today and you know in your heart that you're in the gall of bitterness. Can I say in love that, friend, it's so ungodly It's so un-Christ-like. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And the Word of God warns us in the book of Hebrews to be very, very careful, lest a root of bitterness spring up within us, and thereby many be defiled. And so if there's bitterness today in your heart against another Christian, do the honourable thing. Pray for that person. Go to that person. Show love to that person. And don't allow that root of bitterness to get deep down in your heart, because bitterness will destroy you. And it might even destroy the fellowship of God's people that you belong to. So don't walk about all day like you're sucking a lemon with bitterness in your heart. Robert Murray McShane said, "The Christ in me will never fight with the Christ in you." And if there's that root of bitterness, can I encourage you today, examine your faith, search your heart, examine yourself, and make sure that you're really converted. Because there's nothing worse than having that root of bitterness. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. Don't go about the rest of your life embittered, critical, fault-finding, self-seeking, easily hurt, easily offended, harboring bitterness in your heart. Endeavour to be like the Saviour who loved us and who gave himself for us. See you next time, and thank you for listening.